You know, we can learn a lot from nature. Nature, we notice, does not create or exist alone. Nature reproduces and blossoms through the so-called activity of cooperation, one way or another. Many of us read the creation story as a literal explanation of our existence, and we assume it is referring to marriage or community, one person living with another. But you know, it is so much more than that from a metaphysical perspective. It is more than marriage, traditional. It is more than love affairs. It is more than significant others. It is more than domestic partnerships. It is more than families. In fact, one can be very much alone in each of those relationships. And you often can hear married couples, one saying behind the other's back, "I'm married, but I feel so alone." You can also hear people say that they are at parties, in bars, surrounded by people, joviality, cheer, and yet still feel alone. So being alone is not a function of the absence of the physical presence of another being. And the corollary is also true. People can express fulfillment, joy, excitement, connectedness, even though they live alone. Now, from an atomic standpoint, an atom at one time believed to the smallest possible component of life, matter, substance. Of course, that's old science, because we've now found with quantum theory and subatomic particles that there are even more component parts than at first meet the eye, so to speak. But the atom is not really alone. It's small, but at its core, it has a positive proton, a neutral neutron, and surrounding it in the flurry of activity is the electron. Three distinct components, each playing a role, and the fact that one is positively charged and one is negatively charged is not to be meant to be taken as a judgment of attitude. No more than one male, one female is intended to be taken literally. For even though the male at times takes on the metaphysical symbol of mind or thinking nature, and female takes on the metaphysical symbol of the feeling or emotional nature, those are simply human constructs and labels that we place on them to make a point. They're symbols, they're not to be taken literally. So we find Adam, one component in the garden alone. No creation can come of this. No expansion, no nothing. It's stale, dormant, dead, if you will. And then comes the concept of making a helpmeet. And now we have two. Thinking or ideas, feelings, filling those ideas with the desire that they come forth. And you know, there's one more. There's the action step. Here they are told what to do. Tend the garden and avoid the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The tree is a symbol. Good and evil are symbols of duality. Our action is to avoid the dual nature of thinking, because all is, it just is. It's neither good nor bad. But we can be tricked into thinking that we are making a judgment. So be careful when you're putting your plans in action. Be careful not to succumb to the false temptations of this world, as opposed to the Edenic existence. Now, what happens to Adam and Eve? well, they succumb. Later, we see Jesus alone, but not alone, as he is combined mind, heart, and soul. Likewise, he is tempted. He says the only thing that should be said to the temptations of this world, get behind thee. Get thee behind me, Satan. Do not get confused. Do not confuse the concept, false duality, with the true backing of the law of expression, which is polarity. Polarity, two other things producing a third. You see, we need two things, even if they are seemingly disparate, to make a third. In divine science, this is usually combined the combination of our thoughts and feelings backed by action. In divine science, this is our law of expression. It recognizes that we are not alone. We were not meant to be alone. We are composed of our thoughts, our feelings, and our ability to take action. And what happens when all three are combined? Well, then we create. And we create from the standpoint of Christ consciousness. For as the Son of God appeared to Nebuchadnezzar with the men in the fiery furnace, so with us, when all three of our tribe-like faculties are aligned. Now, our founders, Mrs. Brooks and Ms. James, put it this way. Since by law like begets like, the living soul and body that comprise individual man are image and likeness of spirit. The image of God is God expressed in individuality and as visible form. It is infinite idea expressed and expressing itself in mentality and visibility. The likeness of God means that all inherencies and qualities of God, all his ideas and potentialities are implanted within his image. That is you and that is me, his image. The nature of the image is exactly like the nature of its source. That is, the nature of man is exactly like the nature of God. God is life, love, truth. Therefore, the image of God, us, are life, love, and truth. Man then is not something that has spirit, but is spirit. Man is not something that has body, but is body. And the law of expression reveals the body to be spirit expressing. The substance of infinite source is not changed by coming forth into the individualized expression of itself, man. You see, we are not meant to be alone because we are not alone. We have our thoughts, we have our feeling nature, and we have the ability to embark on a source of creative activity. And so with that in mind, you are not alone, whether you are in a marriage or not. You are not alone, whether you are at a party or not. You are never alone. Emmett Fox, in an essay entitled Universal Polarity, states that we are required to have two poles, clarity of thought and warmth of feeling, the knowledge and the feeling. When you do this, you build up in your mind the mental equivalent of what it is you want. Then the action step. First, really, it's to get rid of the wrong mental equivalence. The easiest example I can think of is you create a plan for wealth, but then you notice that it involves taking another's wealth. Well, that's wrong. That's a wrong mental equivalent, and it won't work in the long run, and it usually doesn't work in the short run either. But this third action step is an important step For if the right plan is not acted upon you and by you in the divine nature, nothing will happen. You see what this means? We are not alone, even when we are all by ourselves. Internally, we've got a whole whirlwind of activity going on in our consciousness. We're thinking thoughts, we are feeling feelings, and we have the potential to bring them forth by our actions. But the action part is so necessary. It was the action part that bound the three together and survived the fiery furnace. It was the action part that allowed Jesus to withstand the temptations in the desert. It was the action part that allowed Adam and Eve first to fall, but then make their way back into the garden. Action. That is the third of the where two or three are gathered. For so often, and how often do we see this, where someone has a good idea but did not believe enough in it? Or someone believes strongly in an idea but then goes off without any plan to carry it forth into expression. And these are tragic cases, and there's no doubt about that. But the worst of all is the one we see who has the good idea, the plan to carry it out, the strong belief in the plan, and then takes no action. You see, the tragedy of human existence is not that we die, but that we never lived. The tragedy of human existence is not that we get sick, but that we were never well. The tragedy of human existence is not that we are poor, but that we were never rich. By that, I mean spiritually. The tragedy of human existence is that we never fulfill our potential, which is the attainment of Christ consciousness, or the realization of our divine nature. And then act, create, and love from that standpoint. That's what we're striving to do. And if we are able to reach that, then what a difference we would be experiencing. Now, if I've said anything at all this morning that is potentially confusing, it would have to be this, and it involves the action step. For we were examining the actions of this world and extrapolating metaphysical lessons, and that's all. The actions of this world would be focused on taking physical human actions and bringing forth the plans and schemes we've created and bringing them into physical existence. And when I say that, I'm reminded of the catchphrase, man plans and God laughs. Metaphysically, we know this is God's universe. Metaphysically, our action step has to be limited, but active nevertheless. It is limited to clearing our consciousness so that the love of God can come through and make all the crooked places straight. Emmett Fox makes this clear in that Universal Polarity essay when he says that that would be the evil of outlining, saying, I want it in my time, in my way, whether God wants it or not. No, Emmett Fox says, once the mental equivalent is created and made clear in our consciousness, then we behold, and we behold the results. They come seemingly out of the blue in ways we never could have hoped for or dreamt of in the ordinary way. So the action step is a clearing or purification of our consciousness of all wrong ideas. When you get there to that point of realization that you are not alone, but one with God, with all God's inherences, then here is your charge, as spoken by the Master, Christ Jesus. And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. He cautions his disciples, go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely ye have received, freely give. We are the lost sheep of Israel. We are the lost in the human form we are currently in. We have our higher selves as disciples, and we know we are here to heal sickness, cleanse ourselves of disease, raise ourselves from the concept of death, cast out the temptations of this world that would have us think that all there is money, power, fame, security, food, clothing, jobs, etc. And we get there, we get to that point by realizing we are not alone, that human conditions surround us with temptations to forsake our true natures and true selves all the time. Nebuchadnezzar is alive and well. And we can ignore him. And we can ignore those temptations. And we can relax. Summon up into our inner minds, hearts, and the ability to act, and bind them together like the three men in the fiery furnace. And then we can go forth and live. It's the part of our service where we try to make this lesson from this morning practical. So let's have a group guided meditation for a few moments. Let's sit up straight. Let's take in a few deep cleansing breaths. Let's purify our thoughts. Let's allow there to be no thought at all. These words come to mind. And if your consciousness is pure, let your peace come upon it. Let your peace come to you when your thoughts are pure. If your consciousness resists, depart from it until you purify it. Beware of the temptations of this world. Let your Christ consciousness come forth and speak to the bedevilments that trouble you. Fear not, for there is nothing to fear. Think and speak light. Hear that which is good. Act upon the same. The very hairs of your head are all numbered. Think not I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but as a sword to help you fend off the temptations of this world and bring forth your good. For your foes are your own ideas and feelings and plans that are of your own household that would lead you astray. If you think you have found your life separate and apart from life, you will lose it. If you lose your life in this world of false conditions, you will gain everlasting life. Be not afraid. I am with you always. Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he cause his light to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. Turn within and acknowledge him so that he may lift your consciousness and give you his peace. Amen. go in peace and remember we are not alone. Our thoughts, our beliefs, and our actions in purifying our thoughts and hearts are all together in each of us, always at all times. And let's join them in unison when we pray. Have a blessed week.